Hello there, and welcome back to the podcast. It's me, Pete Mitchell from Maverick Weddings, and today we've got a lovely guest. We've got another videographer, actually. So I haven't spoken to many of these because they're stomping on my turf, but we're a community. It's Alex Gerard from Molehill Media. So yeah, looking forward to chatting to you, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm really good. Yeah, I'm really, really good. It's obviously booking season at the moment, and it's time to catch up, ready for the next bout of weddings coming up this year. So yeah, nice to spend some family time over Christmas. So yeah, I'm feeling good. Feeling good.
No,
Thanks for
good.
having me on.
No, thank you for coming on. It's you've come from far away, haven't you? You're all the way in Kent.
That's it. Yeah, just a stone's throw from you, really, isn't it? That's the thing about England. You look at all these sort of American videographers, and they're so far from each other. As we're in the UK, we're all really quite close. Do you know what I mean? I mean, what is a destination wedding if you're not going over the sea somewhere,
Oh yeah, too right. That's exactly that. I had the privilege of filming out in California last year, and it was incredible. However, one of my friends lives in San Diego, and I was filming in Los Angeles. No, sorry, in San Francisco he lived in. And he texted me as I landed and was like, "Hey man, we should meet up." And I was like, "Yeah, it sounds great." Looked at the maps. It's an 11-hour drive.
I bet you made some friends with that American
Oh,
accent as well, didn't
exactly that.
you, eh?
You know
But yeah,
what?
that's the thing, isn't it? Like I look at a wedding that comes in and it's like 2, 3 hours away, and I go, ooh. But it's nothing. It's nothing compared to what, when all these people that educate us from the US, is that's nothing to them, you know?
Yeah, 100% that. Yeah, exactly. I mean, how do you sort of stand on traveling away for weddings? Do you do it?
Do you know what? I really don't mind how far I travel, if I'm being honest, because if I just limit myself to Kent, it's a very small pond to swim in. And I like a bit of variety. I don't want to do the same venues again and again and again. I don't mind doing them once in a while, but I've been to Iceland. I've done I'm off to France this year, and I'll relish anything. I went to Ireland this year as well, so take me wherever. As long as there's a couple that are invested in the way that I film and the end product and everything like that, I'll go anywhere. The missus might have
Awesome.
something to say about that, but I'll go anywhere. If it's somewhere hot, she wants to come, basically.
Exactly that. I think it's if you can work in a little holiday around it, it works out pretty well.
Yeah,
Especially if you're going a
absolutely.
bit further afield. If it's just Ireland or something or France, you could be
Yeah.
back in a day or two, can't you? So yeah, that makes
Exactly.
sense.
It's also the taking of the gear as well, though. That is a tough thing to do, because if you've got a standard over in this country where you can load up your car with a load of lights and things like this, you want to be able to replicate that abroad, but you can't take all that with you. Do you know what I mean? So there is a bit of negotiation on what you can do and everything like that. So yeah, it gets a bit tougher, but I'll go anywhere. I'll take any place on the earth if it's the right couple,
That's cool. Yeah, Iceland. Do you say you've already done one there?
I did an elopement over there. It was
That's
fantastic.
awesome.
It was amazing. It was like being in a Game of Thronesy sort
Ah,
of
amazing.
Lord of the Rings type film, and we just explored and got some really cool stuff for them. And they had a great story. They were over from America, and obviously I'm closer to Iceland than videographers over in the US, so I'm a little bit cheaper potentially. But they like my work, and we managed to go to Iceland, and
Awesome.
it was amazing. I really, really loved it.
That sounds so cool. I'm majorly into like Viking things. I love Viking series. There's that series. What's it called? It's got Uhtred of it. Uhtred of Ragnarok. Ragnar. What's it called?
Vikings.
Last Kingdom. That's the one. Not
Okay.
Vikings. I love it.
Lovely.
Oh,
Yeah.
yes. So,
Yeah, I was drinking out of them horns and everything. It was a
okay.
dream come true, I tell you.
That is awesome. That's so cool. Whenever we drive past Benfleet, I always think of the way they used to say it, which is Benfleet. I love
Oh man, it's great. It's great. Yeah. So it's nice to get the variety in there anyway,
Right. So, I mean, how'd you get into the work then? You said you haven't been doing it for too long.
Yeah, so I set up Molehill Media last February, so 2023. That's not to say I haven't had a camera and been editing. I just did a larger variety of things before that time, usually in music. And I suppose the reason I got into it is because of my own wedding. I decided that we needed a videographer, and I just fell in love with looking at all these wedding films and going, why aren't I doing this? And then there's a bit of a sad story to it as well, in the fact that I got to realize how important something like a wedding film is and photographs are, because we lost a few people just before our wedding. And my mum's got stage 4 incurable cancer, and she's still with us right now. But my wedding film is so precious to me. Do you know what I mean? And I just felt like, seeing as I know how to work a camera, I really love editing and everything like that, this is a something I can really invest in, I can be really passionate about, and I can drive it in a certain direction that really fulfills me creatively. Hang on, blah, blah, creatively. So yeah, I was lucky. I mean, we can go into how I got a substantial amount of bookings and things like that if you'd like, but I was very lucky in the fact that I decided I wanted to do this, and my best friend was getting married in Norway a week later, so
Wow,
I
that's
was
amazing.
best man. But I said, look, can I bring my camera along and get some shots? And I ended up creating them a full wedding film. It wasn't the most amazing thing in the world, but it was a taster into what it all involves, and it was incredible. And I've not looked back since.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So you said you were into music before, was it? What do you do?
I mean, my past career was a musician. I'm a singer
Oh,
and
okay.
a songwriter, and I did a lot of West End shows,
Wow.
playing characters in a lot of West End and touring shows and everything like that. And I gave that up when I was 30, because I've had children and back problems, and there are people that are younger coming through the drama schools that are a lot cheaper than I am. And I just had enough of touring for long periods of time as well. I could be away for a year and just come back every few Saturdays, and it doesn't work with kids. So yeah, I used to do band promos and lots of different things with music videos and everything like that with the camera. I mean, where I really shined, if I'm being totally honest, is creating the quizzes during lockdown. That's where the skills really came to fruition. So yeah, it gives me a good understanding with the wedding films about the music, and having been an actor, story, because I've read enough scripts to hopefully understand the ups and downs and the ebbs and flows of narrative. So I think I'm quite lucky. It's almost been a bit of an advantage of where I've come from, stepping into wedding films.
That's really cool. Have you thought about incorporating your musical past into your wedding films as well?
In what way? In what? What?
No,
What?
not, I don't mean like you singing.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I mean, at the start, it's like a la 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 in the background. No, so there's a filmmaker in the States, Luke Bernardi, that's the one.
Oh, right. Okay, let me write him down.
Yeah, Bernardi Films. He's a musician, but he's a very talented filmmaker. And he basically has a past in music composition. He writes his own music, but he does all the his own music for his wedding films, and it's awesome. The videos he puts out, it's like he does like a behind the scenes on editing a video. And he shows the whole process of doing the whole piano and then the guitar and then making it go from really fast to really slow, and it's awesome.
Oh, I'm going to check him out, because that sounds incredible. That sounds amazing. I'm not half as talented as that. If I can play four chords on a guitar, you'd be lucky. But I can sing. But I don't think anyone wants me singing on their wedding film. Someone did a client. I'd done their wedding, and they got to know that I was a singer and everything like that. And they said, I've got an idea for you, but I want commission. I went, what is it? He said, singing waiters. What about a singing videographer? You're setting up the shot, you trip over the tripod, and you burst into song. And I was like, do you know what? If I didn't invest so much time into really trying to get the shot or that moment or anything like that, that's not half a bad idea. No one would ever expect it.
Oh yeah, it's been put to me as well. I
Has
love it.
it?
I'm not a singer by any means, and I'm not, I play drums, but not
The drumming videographer doesn't really take off, does
doesn't
it?
It's not really inconspicuous, is it? Like, what's the
Yeah.
problem? No, it's been put to me before. I'd love to do it. I'd love
Yeah.
it. I actually
Yeah.
think, completely off subject, I actually think a restaurant where they continuously have waiters that sing, not like just, actors, but like proper singers,
Yeah.
they serve and then just occasionally they just burst into song. I think that would work so well.
Oh yeah. Without there was actually one around me. It closed down, didn't last very long, but it was exactly like that. Went there on a work do every year. Honestly, it was incredible. You go and have your
Awesome.
meal, and then the waiters get up on your table and sing, and yeah, it's a right laugh. But yeah,
That's
well,
cool.
maybe me and you will pitch in one day for a premises, and we'll get this. You can drum, I can sing, and we'll wait at the same time, eh?
What should we call it, though? Mole Mavericks or Mo
Yeah, Mole Mavericks, the Maverick Mole.
Maverick Mo So where did your name come from then? Where's Mole Hill Media come from?
Again, another really sentimental reason. I mentioned that a few people passed away before our wedding, and one of them was my godmother, and we could never pronounce her name as Mel. It was always Mole when we were growing up. And without her, she left me a little bit of inheritance, which was beautiful and lovely of her. But without that, I wouldn't have been able to invest in creating this business. So I
Wow.
felt it was only right to name it after her. So Molehill Media. But it also really plays into my sort of ethos of family, friends, sentimental moments, and everything like that, because everything about this business is sentimental to me. There's a reason and a why between the whole behind the whole thing. So yeah, again, hopefully I'm coming across as quite jovial, but a lot of this business comes through a lot of trauma.
Yeah. No, you know what? It is the part of the business which is not really spoken about very often. And I always say it to couples as well when we have a little video, chat or whatever. Or people ask me, why do they think they should book a videographer? And my top reason really is people don't last forever, but these videos they can. And as much as photographs are fantastic, I've got photos of my grandparents or my great grandparents at our wedding. We didn't have a videographer, and I really regret it because there's a point where she's crying her eyes out, laughing at something, and I don't know what it was, and I can't think back. It's like, and I think it's such a morbid part of the job, but it's also such a very important part.
It's a very difficult sales pitch as well, because it's so true. This film will immortalize everyone. Two sides of the family come together for one day. It doesn't happen. And your film immortalizes that and preserves it. But it's very hard to say to a client, 10, 20 years' time, some people might be dead. Do you know what I mean? And you're going to want to look back on them. But it's the truth. It really is the truth. And as I say, my mum's still with me now, but she does have stage 4 incurable cancer. I'm scrabbling for all the pictures and old videos of when we were young and everything like that, because I know in 10, 20 years' time, that is what's going to mean everything to me. And it won't just be my mum, it'll be my grandparents, it will be this, that. And so I'm so glad I got my wedding documented through a videographer and a photographer. They serve two completely different purposes and both worthy of having. I just think it's a hard sales pitch without coming across really salesy. But yeah, it's a difficult one.
With your type of work that you do, like the videos that you produce, yours is very much not your stereotypical wedding video, is it? You kind of do document in a different way. So could you talk us through that a little bit?
Absolutely, yeah. When I got into the business, obviously I'm still quite green within the business, and I believe in education. I believe in really going out there and finding what works for you and sourcing that from everywhere. And just certain things didn't resonate with me, which is, I would say, sort of slow motion music videos. They look absolutely beautiful, and I've got massive admiration for the beauty of these things. But I felt like there was an opportunity, considering my experiences, to make it slightly more through audio, through sort of authentic moments, and almost more documentary without it being such long form. And I just, yeah. So I use time code, and that's my biggest thing that helps me with this. I'm able to lay out across an entire project the entire day, 12 hours, 13 hours, or whatever. But I have people microphoned as well throughout the day. I usually have the bride microphoned all day and the groom. And to some, that might seem extreme. But I capture such amazing moments through the time code. Things that if I stand back and I see something like an emotional moment happening between grandma and the bride, I can't hear what's happening net like in real time. But when I go back to edit it, I'm finding out that she's saying, "You look so much like your mum on her wedding day, and I love you," or her dad across the room with a tear in his eyes saying, "I'm so proud of her." You know, it's these little moments that in 20 years' time, my couples are going to want to look back on. And so I'd rather film that and dedicate the equipment that I buy and the effort I put in on the day to those moments rather than the, I don't know, the establishing shots like a flower blowing in the wind. You know, they're lovely, they're really nice, and you know, some people do them extremely well, but I personally would rather concentrate on the people and relationships, because I think in 10, 20 years' time, that's what's really going to matter to them.
Yeah, that's a point that I haven't really come across, and I love that. I really do like it, because
Yeah, good.
there's so many video. I mean, I'd probably include myself in this category where there's so many videographers that are kind of do the whole music video, set to music. It could be either really sentimental or really fast paced, and it works. It does work. But I think what you're doing is it stands above. I think it really does. So
Oh, bless you. Bless
yeah,
you.
I mean it's
What I would
incredible.
say is that I just want to preface this by saying that I don't dislike or hate slow motion
No,
music
yeah.
video type wedding videography. There's a place for them. Couples really, really do like them.
Yeah.
But what that is the standard of the industry in the UK. We're about five steps behind the US industry, and they're still struggling to break out of the formula that most people use. But we're about five steps behind that. What I'd like to see is other styles come alongside the slow motion music video. So there's more choice and variety for those more sentimental clients that want to preserve things that I can preserve. And yet they still have the choice between what other videographers do, which is slightly more, you know, editorial maybe styles, you know.
No, that's true. It is true. I think having a variety is so nice as well. What would suit some people might not suit another person.
Absolutely.
I did a wedding, was it a couple of months back now in 2023, and the venue itself was Hengrave Hall, which if you've been there, it's stunning. It's such a beautiful
That's
venue,
lovely.
and but it the way when I was filming it, just made it reminded me of Bridgerton. The whole way through,
Yeah.
the bride looks someone out of Bridgerton. The groom looks someone out of Bridgerton. He's in a big top hat on and a big beard. And I was like, you know what? Can I voice over this video that I'm doing for you? So we're gonna do that. We're gonna do a whole like a. It was the season of the diamond.
I think that's amazing though. That's so original. You know, that's breaking the formula that has been known to wedding videographers. And I think that is what, you know, they'll really appreciate that thought and that creativity. You know, and it's what will stand your work out from the photographer that's there on the day, right? Because ultimately, you know, a few pictures of the portrait session against the videographer's slow motion walking, they're practically the same shots. They're just like a slideshow rather than anything else. It's them little details on top, like adding a voiceover, that might seem crazy to some people that you do that. But I think that's so creative, you know, and that's what stands you out, and that's what makes you unique compared to what else is out there, you know.
No, yeah, definitely. With your films, then you say you've got them mic'd up throughout the day. Is it you say just the bride and groom or other people as well?
So I have the bride and groom microphones, and I often have the best man and the maid of honor microphones. Occasionally, I'll stick a microphone on the bride's dad. and see how long that lasts for. But definitely for the first look. All I'd say is I really try to make to prepare them for that before the day. I don't like to spring surprises. You think it's quite obvious when you watch some of my films or the trailers that I am quite hands-on because I pull people for interviews to give context to what's happening and everything like that. And I like to prepare my clients for that. So including microphoning them up, it's not as big a deal as people make it out to be. I know it's the common thing that it's unnecessary, but as I explained, I'm able to get some things that will really stick with them for the rest of their life. I mean, what's your what, I take no offense if you go, you're mad, you're crazy, but what's your opinion on that taboo subject of like microphoning people and my and brides and everything like that?
I love the idea of it. I mean, personally, for myself, I don't think I'd know where to start. First of all, battery life. I don't know what I'd do with if something ran out, you know, if there was a really sentimental moment happening and I got it back and I was like, oh, rubbish, it's run out of battery. So we can go on to that in a minute. I was going to ask you that. Other part was me for the dress. What, where would you mic up a dress and what would you do?
So the way I microphone brides is I put the lav mic roughly around here and I run it around to the seam, and then I have a strap around her leg. And so she lifts it up. I get the bridesmaids to apply it if she's uncomfortable with me applying it. It's very cool, very simple, and it runs all day. I use Deity stuff because the battery life on it is incredible. It's also time code enabled, so if I can't waveform sync it because they're too far away and it's not eligible.
You don't want to clap near the bride's thigh, do
Exactly, it's not clap near the bride's thigh is something completely different to this to this podcast. How X-rated do you want it? But yes, it's time code enabled. So when they're across the room and I've got my 150 lens on and I see they're having an emotion, I don't have to get so close that I distract them. If I've got a 50 mil on and I have to get really close to get the perfect framing, they're going to stop talking and it's going to be not genuine. So I have longer lenses on, I spot where the conversations are happening, I get myself in a position where I'm not interfering with the sort of reality and the genuine moment. So yeah, that's the battery life on Deity is incredible. Same with apparently tentacle sinks, amazing. And do you know what? I'm going to say this about bride, microphoning the bride. One of the biggest things you're taught through the education system of wedding videography is have backup after backup after backup after backup. Well, there's another backup there, and it's right in the center of it. And I'll give you an example, and I don't want to make myself look like a fool, but I've had mishaps. I had the groom microphones on a really big wedding in Wembley, and I got my second shooter to do it. And I gave him the wrong stickies to put in between there. Completely my fault. He put it on, and I can hear the microphone dropping just as she's walking down the aisle. It's dropped from the inside of his shirt there, right down to his crotch. And I can't mon I don't monitor it on the day, so I didn't know. And I checked it before the ceremony, and it was fine. So these things happen. We're filming a live event. These things happen. You'd think then, well, I've got a microphone on the officiant. Amazing. I'll get it off his. It's absolutely fine. He was such a good officiant that he got so far out the way when they were doing their vows
Oh man.
that it was perfect for the visual, awful for the audio. Now, if I didn't have that bride microphoned, I'd have been stuffed. And I managed to get crystal clear vocals of the bride and the groom, and they did their own vows. I mean, how many times do you get brides and grooms in this country getting doing their own vows? It's an opportunity for us because it doesn't happen very often, and it's the most incredible moment. If she wasn't microphoned, I wouldn't have gotten, and I'd have been in big trouble.
That is the part of your kind of like the way the work that you produce that yes it must be. Do you feel the stress? Do you feel the stress from it?
Yes, I do. I do feel the stress, but I have so many backups of everything, that I know there will be something I can pull out. So basically, that was two backups failed there, right? The groom's mic and the officiant's mic. Luckily, the bride was microphoned up. So I tried to protect myself in so many ways by having multiple angles, by having multiple audio sources. And do you know what? I just you got to let the day happen as it happens, you know? So I don't feel the stress in the fact that whatever this film is going to be is what it's going to be. A lot can be covered up in an edit. You know, it is a wonderful thing, something like DaVinci Resolve. You know, you really can cover a lot of mistakes up there. Not that there's too many being made, but as I say, you're filming a live event. There's going to be something, you know, you have to give yourself some credit somewhere. It's nothing staged until the portrait session.
So are you handheld throughout the day, or do you have tripods set up and cameras on grips and all sorts?
Yeah, I've got tripods, you know, set up, but mainly I'm handheld, and I shoot with a Tamron 35 to 150 on an FX3, so it's heavy. So I don't have to worry too much about shake because it is really heavy, which, you know, it is knackering. But as I say, that focal length really gives me a lot of versatility throughout the day. I'm able to catch things from well across the room. But handheld's the way to go for me. I can move it faster. I can adapt to the situation. The gimbal is one step behind your thought. That's my opinion on it. But it looks beautiful. But when I'm filming the way that I am, where I'm trying to catch things off the cuff, I need to be one step. My camera needs to be one step ahead of me, not one step behind. You know.
You haven't thought about doing a whole Justin Porter and going small rig?
I've thought about it. I've thought about it, but you know, as I say, Justin gets a lot of I wouldn't say gets a lot of slack, but he gets a lot of attention for having his small rig on, and I think he works it incredibly well. But he is settled in the US, where things are slightly more extreme with weddings anyway. In the UK, I feel like my style, although it's not intrusive, I'm very much part of the day. To then turn up with an easy rig at this moment in my career, where I haven't necessarily got, I haven't built up that sort of reputation yet. You know, I don't think it's going to work for me to turn up with an easy rig just yet. Don't hold me to it. Maybe next year I might end up having one.
They do look cool, but they also, as you said, I think if you're going for the non-obtrusive at the time, I think
I'm
it
just really clumsy as well. When you've got something hanging over your head like that, and you're going to swing into something, I'm going to knock a bridesmaid out, and I don't want to do it.
I've never even tried one, so I don't know what they're like, but it looks a lot
Don't get
cool.
me wrong. I mean, Justin's a big influence to me. I'm in his academy. I've had lots of mentor sessions with him. He will try to convince me till the cows come home that I need one, because it works so well for him and he's able to use it really well. For me at this moment in time, it's not for me. But maybe in the future, it's something that I'll look into. I've run out of money.
Yeah,
That's
what
what it
you're
comes down
using,
to.
the camera you're using, it's like a it's what is it, a cinematic, or it's like a cine camera, isn't it? It is a cine camera.
I've got two FX3s and one Sony A7 S3. The reason I went for FX3s is to do with time code again, in the fact it's got the top handle, so I'm able to use time code, so it doesn't go through the audio, it actually goes into the camera, and I'm still able to get ambient sound through a shotgun mic. As where when I was on A7 3s or A7 S3s, that wasn't the case. I was getting a large ringing sound, where on the left channel it's time code, on the right channel it's just white noise. So it definitely works for me. Fantastic cameras.
Sorry for anyone who's bored by videography terms here. I'm
Yeah.
loving this, but so just for the listener, when it comes for time coding, what is the difference? What would you say is the big difference between, say, like what you're using an FX3 towards a, I don't know, a Sony A7 IV?
The only difference is with the time code between them two cameras is that the FX3, you can use the multi-port, so that the time code goes straight into the camera and embeds in the footage. As where something like an A7IV or the A7S3, you have to do it through the audio jack, and therefore it records through the audio. So when you put it into DaVinci, you don't go import by time code, you go import by audio time code. It means you don't get very good, if at all usable, scratch audio through any shotgun mic. It's being used by that timecode device. So it's why I moved to the FX3s. It's a cinema camera. It's built for timecode. And the advantages to timecode are, as I said, is getting moments where you can't hear it right then and there. If you've got the microphones and they're over the other side of the room, it's embedded in your footage. It goes straight into, you can find the audio without doing what's it called? The audio sync thing, which works only if they're in earshot of your shotgun mic, and I don't have that problem. I get everything.
Yeah, that's good. I use a software called Pluralize. Well, I've used it before anyway. It's a circa Apple product, Apple software. Because I use Final Cut for editing. Do you say you use DaVinci?
I do use DaVinci, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I've not actually tried it out. I've seen all these. I know you. There's a lot more things you can do with DaVinci when it comes to like color grading and so many more things you can do. But I don't know. I just thought I'm just used to Apple now, and what I use it for, it makes sense.
Absolutely. I mean, I only moved over to DaVinci is because I had other projects from music on Final Cut, and I didn't want to mix it all. So I thought I'd use that for Final Cut for the music stuff, and I'll use DaVinci for that. But I'll never go back to Final Cut. I won't do it. It's got so much for you. Now, if you're comfortable with Final Cut, fantastic. If it works, I've seen your films, they're absolutely incredible. So why would you want to change? It's just if you want to go a little bit deeper into a time code, I think is a good thing on DaVinci. I don't really know what happens with Final Cut, but the color grading on it is second to none. I mean, it is complicated to start with, and then you build your own custom node. Your own LUT basically, and you drop it on your footage, and you just have to do minor tweaks because you've built it within DaVinci yourself, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. It is, if you want to be a bit more, I think I'd say if you want to be more unique and you want to professionally edit your films, I definitely think DaVinci is the way forward.
And the beautiful thing, not that I work for Blackmagic at all, but it's free as well. I mean, I've got the paid version, but it's free. So, I mean, I would suggest to anyone that's a videographer out there that wants to try it out is don't do it on a wedding because that's a bit risky. Do it on some home footage and see what you can do with it. Do you know what I mean? Like create your own home movie on it. And you'll soon get to grips of how efficient it is. I think that's the word for Da Vinci. It's efficient and enabling your creativity is the way I've found it.
Okay, right, let's go into a little game that we do in each episode.
Oh, nice.
You've not been told this, but I do a would you rather in each episode.
Perfect.
So, just off the cuff, some of them are towards the industry that we're in, so both videography, and some of them are just proper weird. So just give
I'll
us
take it.
So what do you prefer? Do you prefer black magic or red cameras?
I've tried neither, but I would say red because I can't afford it.
So when I say red, just for anyone who doesn't know cameras, it's not just a red camera. It's it's a type of camera which are they're like shooting 8K full frame cinematic cameras, and they're very incredible. And I think they start at around 8 grand.
Oh,
So
it's madness. It's madness. Justin's the one to get on this podcast to talk about red cameras.
I know he raves about red cameras. So yeah. Okay, right. So what do you prefer? Would you rather filming the ceremony or filming the speeches?
Speeches. It's where the film is sort of the narrative of the film comes for me. Now, if we were in the US and sort of written vows, personal vows were more of a thing, I'd probably say that. But we get the same lines every single wedding that are said over and over and over again. There's not much creatively to do with that. You don't get to know much about the couple through it. I almost find the ceremony quite hard to edit. Because that's almost copy and paste because it's the same words. So speeches for me, it's where the narrative comes from.
Oh yeah, I actually 100% agree with you. And also you get all the reactions, and the ceremony is lovely because you do get the reactions at the first look. I'm a big advocate of having, the registrars usually facing the audience and the bride and groom are facing away. I'm a big advocate of swapping that around, so the celebrant or the registrar is facing away, and the bride and groom are
Nice.
facing towards. I love that.
That yeah, no, that's a really good. That's re that's a I'm gonna nick that.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate.
No, I think it's great. I love it. And also, I've done a one wedding so far, and I always suggest it now at weddings, is when the bride's walking down, all the guests are facing forward.
Yep.
Just do a 90 degrees turn on those chairs, get them all facing inward so they can all see her walk down. I love
Yeah.
it. I love that.
That's so good. That's so
Yeah.
good. It's different, isn't it? You
It's
know.
so different. But yeah, as you said, in America they have like their own vows. It's like, I love Randy
Absolutely.
since the day we met. And
Yeah, don't get me wrong, some of them are really cheesy,
I know.
but you do get a sense of who the people are. And
Oh
if they
yeah.
happen to be cheesy,
Yep.
you do know what I mean? Like it's a lot.
Yeah, it brings out their personality, doesn't it?
It's a lot more content for us, basically, is what I'd say.
Yep. Right.
Cool.
So, would you rather winter weddings or summer weddings?
Summer weddings,
Yeah.
because the days are longer.
Yep.
You know, with a winter wedding, nice as they can be, you're limited with your time outside,
Yeah.
and people are cold, and so you lose the space, you lose the light. So yeah, summer weddings, and I don't love being cold. I'd rather be in a hot, sweaty mess, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I would agree with you. The worst thing a couple can say on a winter wedding, like a December or November, or even January or February, they're like, oh, we're going to have a twilight ceremony. It's like, no.
What, you know, and do you
Yeah.
want me to film it? And you
Exactly,
know,
yeah.
do you just want like darkness? You know, yeah, I completely agree with you. And the thing is if you want a portrait session as well, they're getting cold within a second,
Yeah.
and therefore they're closing up, and they're not willing to sort of, not every bride and groom, but they're not as open to sort of giving you what you need to create something really great, because they're cold, and that's completely understandable. But in
Yeah.
summer, everyone wants to be outside anyway.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly that.
a sweaty bride isn't going to sell the films that we want, but you know, it there's a you know, 100% a better option than a freezing bride.
Oh, there is, yeah. And I think the winter weddings I did last year, there was one in particular where the best man, he had quite a thin shirt on. And honestly, you could cut glass with his nipples. They were, yep, in every shot. There they are.
Well, I'd stick that on TikTok. You're bound to get viral for.
Okay, right. So let's do one more. No, let's do some interesting ones now. Let's do some rather obscure.
Let's
So,
do it.
would you rather live on a canal boat or live in an RV for the rest of your life?
RV.
Awesome.
I've never ever seen the interest in a canal boat. I mean, surely that's a rough way of living. As where
Yeah.
with a you know, yes, you can pull up to a pub on the bank, lovely, but that novelty will soon wear off. As where with an RV van, you can go anywhere.
Yeah.
You're limited to the canals.
You are.
As
Although
where they.
I had a mate who lived on a canal boat in London,
Yeah.
and the way he did it, he kind of like docked up in certain locations at certain points of the year, and it meant that he didn't have to pay any, I think it was like council tax or something. It was something like that. It
Yeah.
was a really cheap way of living.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Oh.
I don't know. I'd be an RV.
But I'd imagine with to settle the boredom on a canal boat, you'd spend some money.
Yeah, yes. Would you rather have Dolly Parton's or Billie Eilish's wardrobe for the rest of your life?
I mean, that's a question I never thought I'd be asked. I suppose Billie Eilish, from what I've seen, is quite comfortable.
Yeah, it's baggy.
It's
Certainly
baggy.
baggy.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think I've got the boobs for Dolly Parton.
Yep, okay.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I think I'll be the same. Yeah, I mean, she. No, I don't know. I'm not sure, actually. I haven't actually. I don't, in all honesty, I don't know what Dolly Parton's wardrobe looks like. So,
It's a lot of rhinestone.
rhinestone.
It's
Okay, yeah.
oh
I
yeah.
can't tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And Billie Eilish is quite green and black, isn't it? So, yeah.
Yeah, green, black, and very baggy. It
Yeah,
sounds like what
oh,
I
that
wear on a Sunday, you know?
sounds pretty good, actually. Yeah. All right, let's do one more. Would you rather Only be able to get around via roller skates or skis.
Well, I've never been skiing, and I think only once gone rollerblading, so I'd have to go for the experience of rollerblading. Either
Oh,
way, I've already told you I'm highly accident prone, so I'm breaking a leg somewhere along the line.
right. Okay. Yep.
What's
I
your
mean,
answer? No one ever asks you. You come back, but let me ask you, what
yeah.
are you going? You going rollerblades or you going skis?
I snowboard, so I don't know what skis feel like. But I'd say rollerblading. I actually think rollerblades would help my job as well, because
Yeah.
you can't drive in rollerblades. But I would certainly be zooming around a wedding day, having a
Yeah, but
great
you also
time.
can't drive in skis,
You
just to
can't.
point that out. I mean,
Yeah, I
it's
guess
even
you
a little bit
can.
harder to drive in skis.
Yeah, you have to drive out the window like Mr. Bean. All right. Nice. Yeah, you know what? I've been asked a few questions on this. There was one episode where they flipped the tapes and yeah, I answered a few.
I've listened to a few of them, and some of the questions you've asked, I just think, how does your brain
I
work?
know.
I don't.
I
Would I rather have hands for feet or feet for
know.
hands? Would I rather be 11 feet tall or 6 inches tall? I mean, I have answers for all of them.
Yeah,
If you want my answers,
it
I'd
gets
rather have
convenient.
hands for feet. My feet are disgusting.
Okay.
I wouldn't want them anywhere near anyone through my hands.
Oh,
And I'd rather be 11 feet tall because them difficult ceremony shots would be a lot easier.
yeah. So 11 foot tall, if you put your arms up, that makes it 14 feet.
It's a drone shot.
Perfect. Perfect. I
I mean,
agree.
you've got basically a jib, a crane from a movie set
Yeah.
on your arms. Do you
Yep.
know what I mean? So, yeah,
So if you get on someone's
that's what I go.
shoulders, you're a fully functional jib.
I mean, I
Just
often bring second videographers with me, and I've toyed with the idea of getting on their shoulders. Like, it would look so good, that shot, but I am not tall enough.
I'm
But
not quite tall.
I think I'm pushing my luck slightly to get on top of someone's shoulders.
Yeah. Well, you never know. It's a day's work's a day's work, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, would you rather wake up in the morning as a bird or a dolphin?
Okay, I'm gonna go dolphin
Yeah.
because they're some of the most intelligent animals on the planet. King of the sea, some people say. Not me, but it's I'll go for dolphin. I'll go for
Okay.
dolphin.
Yeah.
A bird's cool, but I think the lifespan of a bird is quite short. And well, let's go dolphin. They're majestic, aren't they?
They are. They are. And also everyone looks at them. If you see a pod of dolphins swimming by, everyone's like, oh, look amazing. They are incredible. But
Yeah.
you never go, oh, look at those flock of birds.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
Darling, darling, I used to be an actor. I want everyone looking at me at every moment. Yeah.
proper Alan Carr moment there, wasn't
Yeah.
it, darling? Awesome. Oh, speaking of acting, would you rather be on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here or SAS Who Dares Wins?
Oh, I love the idea of SAS. But I wouldn't last a day. I did a TikTok yesterday where not TikTok, an Instagram story where I was walking down the road explaining something for the videography, and my missus commented when I got home and said that I was too out of breath for just walking. So SAS isn't gonna work for me. So I think I'm a celebrity. I'm all right with eating stuff as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll
Oh,
go for that one. The
I
only thing
did
I
do it.
can't deal with is snakes.
Okay, right. You know what I find in that program? They always say their fears. A stupid mistake.
Yeah. Say the opposite to your fears.
Exactly that. I'd be like, oh, I'm really scared of, I don't know, ice cream or whatever. I'm terrified
Was
of
just gonna say ice cream. Oh yeah.
it.
Yeah. Oh God, I really hate that ice cream. Oh,
Yeah.
don't stick me in a container with a load of ice cream. You don't want to see what happens.
Yeah. And then a good old hand deck. Great. Okay. So, what you gonna do?
It's
That's my Geordie accent. There you
almost as good as your American.
go. With your line of work then, what is the most interesting or like wow moment you've had in your career so far?
Ooh, do you know what? It sounds really mundane, but every wow moment comes from when I've delivered a film, and you get the response that you dreamed you'd get. There's been some lovely weddings. There've been some lovely moments. Obviously, I've been to Ireland and Iceland. There's some incredible visual things that I've been able to capture. But nothing beats when you've worked so hard on a film and that you send to them and they tell you that they love it. And I always think if they're going to like it now, they're going to love it in 10, 20 years' time. I mean, how many times can I say 10, 20 years' time on this podcast? But it's true. That's my ethos. But if they like it now, they're going to love it then. So that's the most beautiful thing that I've come across in this business. It's the fulfillment of doing the job and delivering something really special to people. I think that's it, really.
That's really cool. That's really nice. Yeah, that is a part of the business which doesn't get spoken about much. And obviously, people, this is where I think it comes to the bride and groom. If we have listeners which are brides and grooms, I'm gonna have a bride on very soon who we're gonna get the bride's viewpoint of things. But just a message, just saying, thank you so much for the film. Just how you feel, it goes such a long way.
It
I
goes
think it's
such a long
amazing.
way. It really, do you know what? Nothing else inspires me more for the next film. I know it's not what the current bride wants to hear, but nothing inspires me more to move on to the next film than getting some good feedback from the past bride. Yes, the method to my madness is working, and I've created something really special for someone. Let's go and smash another one out. It's really rewarding and fulfilling. All part of this job is, but that delivery moment is scary. But if you get the feedback that you've been dreaming of and that you deserve if you've really worked hard on it, then there's no better feeling.
Do you find with your work as well that you have a standard, and your standard is not the couple's standard, if that makes sense?
In all fairness, I'd say I'm such a perfectionist. I'm at least exporting that final film 13, 14 times. And it's because, and they take so long to render, like a ridiculous amount of time to render. And I go and I see just that slight bit of warp stabilization just not quite working the way I wanted to, or that clip's just slightly cooler than the last one. I'm such a perfectionist. So yeah, I totally believe, especially the way that I'm doing films, although I'm not reinventing the wheel, it's different to what the majority of wedding filmmakers are doing in the UK. They have no expectation of what I'm delivering because it's not the norm. So they're blown away when I've managed to capture that moment of someone giving them a hug and saying they look so beautiful and they're so proud of them from across the room. They didn't know I got that. I didn't stage it or anything like that. But now they've got it forever. So, yeah, it does surpass their expectation. I haven't had any complaints yet, or too bad of complaints, the odd revision here and there as we all get. But it's yeah, it's an amazing, fulfilling job, I have to say.
So yeah, we've got into all the high bits of the industry and the job, and it is when it's amazing, it is really incredible. In your time of doing, obviously you're fairly fresh still. In your time of doing this line of work, then have you had any moments where you thought, I'm not sure if this is correct. I'm not sure if this is the right path for me.
As in, would I change career because I don't feel like it? Not yet, but I am very fresh and green and enthusiastic about it. I would say the day that I don't do what I'm passionate about through the storytelling and the style that I'm trying to achieve, and I do resort to doing something that I'm not passionate about, a style that I'm not passionate about, that is when I want to leave. I need to be fulfilled creatively. It is a massive part of my personality. I know it sounds cheesy, but because I come from careers in acting and singing and everything like that, you couldn't stick me at a 9 to 5 job sitting in front of a spreadsheet. I struggle with that with Molehill Media and the spreadsheets. It needs to be creative, and my missus, my wife, will tell you herself that if I'm not being creative, I'm an incredibly miserable person. So the only way I'd leave this business is if I wasn't being fulfilled creatively. And at the moment, it's fulfilling every aspect of that. That's a long-winded answer for were you ever like, has there ever been any point you wanted to leave?
No. I think it's nice to hear the sort of the reasons behind it. And I think a lot of people, I think they should feel how you feel about it, because I certainly do. And obviously there are times where I'm still fairly fresh. This is my 5th year. And there's times where I'm like, you know what? I'm not sure if I'm really enjoying this anymore. Particularly last year, towards the middle of last year, I was doing so many weddings and I hardly saw my family. My wife, my little girl, to the point where my wife actually was like, "You're doing too many weddings." And I was like, "If she says that, then I know that I'm doing too many." And it was amazing because obviously money's coming in. When you've got time off, it's fantastic. You're not really working much during the week. I loved it. However, I found that I needed something else in my life as well. So doing other projects, creative projects, like this podcast, started that up. Fantastic, I love it. It's something to take me off the day-to-day job, the bread and butter, the wedding work. Stunt shows are so much fun to film. I love them.
Oh, really?
I absolutely love it. Filming stunt shows, filming circuses. Oh my goodness, just completely different. But
I mean, that must be hard because they're quite dark environments, right?
Oh, it is. Oh, it puts your camera to the test, but I just love it because you basically turn up for the whole day, and you sit through three or four performances, and each one you just focus on a different type of filming. I loved it, absolutely loved it.
Amazing. Well, you do. I think you do have to branch out into different things just to reset yourself almost. I'm almost at the same situation. I mean, I'm not doing 70 odd weddings like you did last year. But I'm losing time with my family when they're growing up, and they're quite nice ages right now. They still like me, that's for sure. But I've still work a full-time job on top of this,
Do you?
of which
Okay.
which I'm trying to get out of. And I've got 27 weddings coming up this year, still bookings coming in and everything like that. And I do think it will be time to make the leap soon, but right now it's unsustainable, because a full-time job as well as filming and editing is a heavy editing process with time code and 12 hours of audio per microphone and per camera and everything like that. I'm not seeing them enough, but there's an end goal, right? There's an end fulfillment to this, and that is to make some good money, although that's not the be and all and end all, but doing something you really love. And we're nearly crossing that bridge,
That's
so
really
yeah,
good.
that's great.
What is it you do for work then? What's your main job? Your full
Well, when I was an actor, I had to have a job when I was out of work. So my mum and dad are hairdressers and barbers, so I learned to be a barber. And I sort of run my dad's barber shop into the ground, because I don't like doing it. I don't like it, and I know there's something better on the horizon. It pays my wages and keeps us afloat, but when you know there's something better on the horizon, you want it, you're itching to get out of there,
Well, that's something at least it's not like an office job where you're
No. What I
bored.
will say though is, as a barber, you deal with a wide variety of people, wide variety of hygiene, and you become a counselor. And when you're going through something really rubbish yourself, and someone's going, "I'm having the worst time in my life.
He's like,
Oh,
shut up.
my cat woke me up at 3 in the morning last night," and I'm going, "You don't know what problems are, mate." And that's the job. You become someone's counselor as well as cutting their hair, so I can't wait to leave.
That's
I hope
good.
none of my customers hear this, but I doubt they will.
I probably won't put that bit in anyway.
Oh, feel free to, the reality of trying to better myself to in a career that I'm really passionate about, you have to work hard to get there. So I have to put in the hours of doing both jobs. And the end goal is so beautiful that I'm happy to sacrifice my happiness right now.
When do you think is the time to go full time then?
It's a really tricky one. It's a really tricky one because I probably could chuck the barbers in at the beginning of April when things really start kicking off for me, when the money starts coming in from the current season. However, I want to build this business to something beyond average. And so if I don't want to jump too soon that I'm unable to grow it further. So I think the only answer to that is when I'm absolutely on my knees and can't do it, and it's affecting the wedding films, it's affecting the work, or it's looking like it's going to affect the work. It would be fine to jump now, but I just don't think I'd reach the potential with Molehill Media that I think it deserves with the work I've put in on the back end already, you know?
What you've done, I think, is a smart move. What you've done with your company name, I think a lot of people can take sort of a lesson from it. I mean, I've done it myself as well. I haven't named it, so you haven't named it like, Alex Gerard Media, whatever, Alex Gerard Videography. So it's not stuck to you. I think if you want, when you say you want to grow it, I assume you mean make it into a production company where you have multiple people going out.
I would say so. You know, lots of different things. Whether it be I'm not interested at this moment in time in educating, I don't feel I know enough myself. But in the future, to do branch into education, maybe other forms of videography. I will never lose the weddings because that's what I'm really, really passionate about. But you know, to make it into a media company eventually might be great. To do workshops, to do, you know, we're lacking a lot of workshops over here, like the things that they have in the US that I've just seen going out now, where they do week-long you know, things like that. Can't get my words out with that. But you know, we don't have a lot of that now. We have to sort of wait for the Americans to come over this side of the world to be able to do an educational retreat or something like that. So, to grow it past what it is now, I think what I really mean, because that's a long-term goal, I just want to make it so the business stands up on end at a respectable rate, in the fact that it is going to move forward naturally rather than having to shovel. To really work hard to get it to progress because I left my day job too early. I want it to get to a point where it naturally grows, you know?
That is a good way to do it. It's a sensible way to do it, isn't it, really, as well?
It's not the way I really want to do it, but it's the way I think I should do it.
Oh yes, we all have to put our big boy caps on sometimes and be like,
Exactly, exactly.
what's the
The
reason?
children still need feeding.
I can't live off air and water.
Yeah.
Right, thank you ever so much for coming on, mate. It's been great to chat to you. So, with anyone looking to start the a business in the wedding industry for videography or filmmaking, what advice could you give them?
There's a lot you can do and do it really quickly to get your feet off the ground. I mean, the way I did it is I bought some gear and learned it backwards, right? And you've got so much education around, soak it all in of everyone. And whether you agree or disagree with their methods, soak it all in and cherry pick everything that you want, right, to put into your own business. Mentorships are crucial. Find someone that you really admire. See if they do mentorships. Show them some work of yours. Get some feedback on it. Workshops are around if you need them. Most of them are towards photography, but you will find some with videography. Styled shoots are key to get your portfolio running. Get yourself in a couple of style shoots, make some friends, get some content. Second shoot for people. That's important to see how a day works within the wedding industry. And then just apply everything you've soaked in that short period. And if you get someone do it, like a family member or a friend, do as many free weddings as you can. There's so many obstacles at a live event. We have to get past. You want to get those out early so you know how to resolve them. And the one thing that I really got a lot of bookings off when I was at a lower rate was going to wedding fairs. And I know that's a controversial thing because it doesn't work for everyone, but I do believe it teaches you a lot, even if you don't book anyone. It teaches you where you are with communication with your couples, because if you can't talk to them about your business, you've got some work to do. You need to know that you're able to translate exactly what you are as a business and what you're trying to provide, and that you come across in a way that they want to have you as another guest, essentially, with a job to do on your wedding day. And I think that's where you can really learn about what you need to adjust in your own personality, as harsh as that sounds, but to make it work for you.
That's
And
true.
that's my long-winded advice to start-up videographers.
That was a good, precise, quick fire words of wisdom right there. I think that's great. And that's an interesting one about wedding fairs as well. As you said, it is a controversial matter. Some people think, ah, no, I can't be bothered. Some, love it. I know a lot of photographers, especially, who get pretty much all their work from wedding fairs throughout the season.
There are some good ones and there are some bad ones. And I've done one where three couples walked in the door the entire day and they all went, "We're thinking get married in 2030. I don't know yet." And there's some bad ones. You get to learn which are the really good ones. I've got one coming up in 2 3 weeks. I know there's going to be 700 people walk through that door. And if I can chat to 10% of them, that's a great thing. Even if I don't book anything, I might learn about what I need to adjust with the business. And my advice for wedding fairs, if you're going to go though, is I did meet a videographer not long ago who turned up and the only thing he had was his laptop to show his films on.
Oh
You
no.
do have to try and stand out. You need a big telly, you need decent leaflets, you need to make it look pretty and show your best work. But they work as long as you're at the right price point. I actually think I've outpriced myself for wedding fairs now. But I'm going to go anyway and just see if I can learn anything about other vendors, myself, everything like that. I think they're worth doing.
Exactly that. And people, it's a massive thing in this industry. People buy people. Not literally, because that's slave labor, but people buy into the person.
I think the biggest thing, no matter, you can be a very average videographer, you can be a very average editor. What you need to be is an extremely good people person, because you are going to be there with that bride and groom longer than anyone else on that day. And if they don't get on with you, you're not going to get the most out of them, and they're not going to enjoy your presence there. So I always do Zoom meetings with them before, so they feel comfortable with me. Not just one, but I do two. They've got to feel comfortable with you on the day to get the most out of that event.
100%. I had one thing that I thought would never happen in my time of doing this as a job. I had an inquiry come in and they wanted to book me for their wedding in 2025 purely based on my funny skit videos that I do. It was the oddest thing. They said, "Oh, we love your comic videos." And I thought, "What? They're booking me off that?" And then, I went out of a little Zoom call with them. He's like, "Yeah, we love you. We love your wedding videos, but we just think you'd be so much fun and you fit in with us." I
That's
was
the
like,
key.
"That's such a
That's
powerful
the
thing."
key. It is. And I've started on Instagram now to show myself a bit more. I'm going to do some more natural stuff because a lot of the stuff I've done is pretty scripted, but I wanted to ease myself into it. But I think it's important because I want the couple that I'm booking to feel like I'm a friend on the day. Because if they don't feel comfortable around me, it's not going to make their day any better, and it's not going to make the film any better. You've got to be as friends with them as possible. It doesn't mean we have to go out for dinner every Sunday, but it does mean that they feel comfortable with you on their biggest day of their life when they're already racked with nerves. So you've got to make the effort to try and think. And with your skit videos, they obviously find you really funny. Why wouldn't they want you around them on their wedding day? As well as your content being incredibly good with your wedding films, it's a win-win-win.
Win, win, win. Exactly that. So, the last question I'm going to ask you, we ask this in every single episode this season. Are you married yourself?
I am married. I got married in
You
March.
are. Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. Cool. Last year was a busy year for you then.
It was. And that's what I said. That this is why I got into wedding videography, because of my own wedding and
Your own
things like that with my
wedding.
mum and everything like that. It's all still pretty fresh coming up to that first year anniversary though.
Wow. Nice one. Well, cool. Okay, right. So this might be a bit of a, well, it's a very fresh subject, but if family politics, money, location, any of those things were not, nothing, you didn't have to think about those things, where would you get married and how would your wedding be?
We'd get married abroad now. We really fancy an abroad wedding. We got married at Cooling Castle Barn, which was at a beautiful venue. Really love it. Love filming there. Love going there. But we did it locally so people could come who were in the family that weren't able to travel. And actually, thinking about it, we should have thought more about ourselves than other people
Yep.
in order to get the best out of our wedding. And I think an abroad little shindig. My brother got married in October in the Canary Islands, and it was so good. You get a holiday out as well as a wedding. If I'm being totally honest with you, me and the missus spoke about this a couple of nights ago, and there's a lot we would have changed with our wedding. A lot. It doesn't mean we didn't have the best day. It's just you learn so much once you've done that wedding
Yeah.
that you'd want to do it all again to put the things you learned into place, you know? But yeah, an abroad wedding would be fantastic.
Nice.
Renewal of the vows, please.
Yeah, that's something. That's a what that could be a 10-year anniversary little thing there.
Oh,
10 years
depends
away,
how well this business kicks off, really, if
but
I'm being honest.
yeah. Oh, that sounds really good. I think we'd be the same. We're coming up Fort Worth, 8 years for me and my wife this year, and yeah,
Where was your venue? Where did you get married?
we got married in Ipswich.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
Okay.
the Tithe Barn. It was very at the time didn't have much money. I think if we could do it again, we both lived in Crystal Palace at the time as well, and all of our family was this way, down sort of Essex way. And I think if we could do it again, we would probably get married in Spain, rent out a
Yeah.
villa. Probably there's a where we used to live. So we used to live in Spain ourselves as well, and there was a like a nice mountain peak which overlooked the whole of the town we lived in called Javier, and absolutely stunning. My brother-in-law got married on that peak. And it just, oh, it's incredible. Absolutely
Our
incredible.
brothers have done shown us up, haven't
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
they?
And they had a
Yeah.
big villa, nice pool, had a pool party basically. And just I'd do that. I'd do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, though, isn't it?
It is. It is exactly that. Well, thank you ever so much for coming on, mate. It's been lovely to speak to you. Tell us your tags. Where can we find you? Instagram, Facebook, website.
All of that, all of that. So website's www.molehillmedia.com. Instagram is at Molehill Media. I have TikTok, but there's nothing of value on there. Same tag on there. I'm not going to do any TikTok dances
Just
anytime
you
soon.
dancing
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Who knows?
from
You
the
know,
top,
depends how
bring it
desperate I
drop.
get. Yeah, depends how desperate I get with the marketing. Let's see how this the beginning of this year goes, eh? Yeah. But
Nice
yeah, basically anything with Molehill Media, you can find me.
one. Well, brilliant. Thank you ever so much for coming on.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.